Welcome to the Locked On Titans podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Rowland. Titans fans, I know that it was a dark, depressing loss to the Jaguars on Thursday night, but I hope with that in the rearview mirror, you were able to enjoy a pretty insane day of football. There was 79 touchdowns scored just in the 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock windows. It was a really offensively packed day of football. So if you're a football fan and a Titans fan, pretty decent day for you. Hopefully not worrying about the Titans made you enjoy yourself a little bit more. Today's episode, we are going to focus on the division, the AFC South. Just want to kind of reset everything for you guys, give you an idea of how all of the division rivals fared today, where the Titans stand in the standings, and then we're going to look at some point differential because it's one positive that I could find looking at all of the information about the Titans division. We're also, in our second segment, going to go position by position and do a comparison between the Titans and the rest of the teams in the AFC South and kind of rank every position group there. And in our third and final segment, we are going to look at the schedule coming forward. We're going to look at the next couple of games for the Titans and for all the division opponents. Really hope you guys enjoy the show. Let's get it. Very rough Sunday in the AFC South for the Tennessee Titans. As you guys know, the Titans lost 20-7 to the Jacksonville Jaguars, so you're aware of that result already, but the Texans were able to come back and beat the Chargers in Los Angeles by a score of 27-20, and then the Colts, who some viewed as underdogs, some viewed as favorites, I thought there was a pretty good chance that the Colts could lose that game against a playoff-tested Atlanta Falcons team. The Colts were able to, at home, keep the Falcons at bay and win 27-24. The Colts without Andrew Luck don't seem any less formidable. I think it's clear that their ceiling without Andrew Luck is a little lower, but for a regular season team, they're going to be just as tough as they were with Luck, at least from a Titans perspective, the way that Titans fans should view it. So, just to let you guys know where the standings are right now, the Texans are 2-1. They have a division record of 1-0. They beat the Jaguars in week 2. The Colts are 2-1. They also have a 1-0 division record as they beat the Titans in week 2. The Jags are 1-2 with a 1-1 division record. They lost to the Texans in week 2. Like I said, they beat the Titans on Thursday night. Teardrop. The Titans are 1-2 as well, but unfortunately, the worst part of all of this is the Titans are 0-2 in division games. They are essentially going to have to sweep the division games remaining. The Titans, looking forward, the Titans play the Texans in week 15 and 17, and I would imagine that they'll be in a spot where they'll have to win both those games to possibly make it to the playoffs. So the Titans did put themselves in a bad position when it comes to the division record. Ultimately, that's a big tiebreaker. The first tiebreaker in terms of a division crown. So that is not what we want to see. The Titans will have to, like I said, most likely sweep the division going forward if they want to make the playoffs. So basically my feel on the AFC South teams at this moment in time is that Jacksonville will end up being a middle-of-the-road team to below-average team. They have a little bit of talent on the roster, but something there just doesn't seem right. Minshew looks good right now, but there's a reason that guy was drafted in the sixth round, and I would imagine once some teams start getting some tape on how the Jaguars' offense has changed, he'll slow down in his production. Quite frankly, the Titans' offense made it easy for him to get a lot of opportunities to get into a rhythm. The Colts, in my opinion, have the best roster of any team. They don't have a ton of position groups that are the top of their roster, but they're just very solid, and I believe that they have the best coaching. I know that Bill O'Brien has playoff success to point to, and they've won the division more times than not with him as the coach, but I can't help but watch Bill O'Brien coach sometimes and the way he manages certain situations and how he's handled his roster in the past and have faith in him going forward. So I do think Frank Reich right now, in my opinion, would point to and say is probably the best coach with the best coaching staff in the division. Now, the issue there with the Colts being the best roster is I don't know if they have the superstar talent to put them over the top at the end of the day. And Mike Vrabel has spoken about this before. The NFL is about players making plays. And eventually, you're going to have some stud players who make big plays and big moments for you when you don't really know what to do, when the coaches can't coach something up, when the opportunity is there to strike, big players make big plays. I know it's cliche, but it's just the truth of the league and professional sports and pretty much sports anywhere. And the Texans have those stars. Deshaun Watson is phenomenal. He seems to make a play anytime you need it. We know about DeAndre Hopkins. J.J. Watt, while being in the late stages of his career, is still making an impact. Whitney Mercilus is back now with the absence of Jadeveon Clowney, making plays again. So, if you look at it, the Jaguars are just going to be middling. They're going to be not miserable, but they're not going to take any kind of steps forward, and I don't see them being in playoff contention late in the year. The Colts probably have the best overall roster and coaching staff, but are limited in the actual superstars they have on their team. And the Texans, quite frankly, even though they're limited by the offensive line, and I think Bill O'Brien, they have the superstars, and sometimes that's just all you need is superstar talent to make plays for you when it counts the most. So that's kind of how I see things right now, but the Titans are still right in the thick of it. A win against Atlanta this week, 2-2. You're right back in it with a good season ahead. Before we get into our second segment and go position by position and compare all the teams in the AFC South, I just want to remind you guys that you can make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code KICKOFF at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. Hey, let's talk about Vivid Seats. You want an experience that lasts a lifetime? Well, Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace that's dedicated to providing fans just that. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person, earning credits on all purchases made through the Vivid Seats app via the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program. Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theater, and more, all through the Vivid Seats app. Vivid Seats offers great prices, an easy purchasing experience, as well as an in-app loyalty program, that Vivid Seats Rewards program. With reward statuses ranging from MVP to Hall of Fame, customers can earn from 10 all the way up to 16% credit on all their purchases made through the app. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program and will enjoy credits on all their purchases as part of the Vivid Seats Rewards. Remember, enter promo code KICKOFF at checkout and receive a discount of up to $100 on the Vivid Seats app now. Fellas, let's talk about the bedroom. Ever wish you could increase your performance or maybe just need a little confidence boost in bed? Well, listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue, just like the color. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work twice as fast as a pill, so you're ready anytime you need to be. But hear me out. It's not just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy looking for a little extra to enhance their performance. You hit a leadoff home run, guys. Blue Chew helps you go deep again in the second at bat. Blue Chew is prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. No in-person visits, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 for shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code locked on to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring our podcast. Okay, let's get into our position by position comparison of the AFC South. We will obviously start at quarterback. So I'm going to rank all the quarterbacks in the AFC South and kind of just give you my piece on why I've ranked them that way. So I'll start at the top, Deshaun Watson. I think I talked about him in the first segment enough for you guys to know how I feel. Watson is a stud superstar quarterback who's getting it done with one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL year after year and getting sacked just as much as anybody else in the NFL, time after time, but still making plays and taking his team to the playoffs. So able to get a good win today as well. He just continues to show that he's a next-level quarterback. I would say next, Jacoby Brissett. I know that's going to upset some people, but I feel like he's been consistent. He clearly is a better player now that he has a decent cast around him as compared to his 2017 season. So I think at this moment in time, Brissett's performance today and this year so far have shown that that he's a slightly better player than Marcus Mariota at this moment in time. I would have Marcus third. I do think once Taylor Lewan comes back and this offense is able to open things up a little bit with increased protection, that he will show that you know, he's a better player than he's showing right now. I still would have him third at this moment in time. And then Gardner Minshew at the bottom. I know that he beat the Titans on Thursday Night Football, so there's only so much that I can say badly about Gardner Minshew, but I just don't think that he's a high-level talent. He's just an average game manager, and with more tape and more film on what the Jaguars are doing on offense, I see their run there that, you know, it's cool. He's a folk hero of sorts and things like that, but that cool story will eventually come to an end, in my opinion, so I would have him last. If Foles were on here, you know, then I would have to give a renewed take, but without seeing him play in Jacksonville for more than half a game, I don't feel I can really place him with anybody at this moment in time. I don't like to rank injured players, quite frankly, because you just don't know what they're going to be when they come back. Moving to the running back position, Derrick Henry, I think, is clearly the most talented running back in the AFC South. He's not getting the best holes of anybody in the AFC South, but ever since he had that conversation with Eddie George late last season, he's just been a phenomenal running back, a top 10 running back, maybe better in the NFL, period, let alone the AFC South. So I think Derrick Henry takes the cake there. I like Marlon Mack at number two. Some say Leonard Fournette maybe should be number two on this list, but I like Mack's talent better. He does get pretty wide open holes, and things are blocked up pretty well for him, but I do like Marlon Mack as a talent. I also like Jordan Wilkins is his backup, Nyheim Hines, Deion Lewis I'm not so high on, but Derrick Henry's so good, that's why I put him at number one. Leonard Fournette, third, just based on talent, but I'm not very high on Fournette. He was having a pretty miserable game until he broke off that long run late in the game, so not very high on Fournette. Seems like he's always banged up and just struggle in his career to get things going. Some may blame the Jaguars offensive line, but I thought they've had a pretty competent offensive line the last few years. Finally, the Texans, Carlos Hyde, nothing to write home about. He'll get the job done, I guess, but he's not going to help you on offense make any kind of explosive plays. The Texans traded a third round pick for Duke Johnson, and they barely use him. It seems like he's never on the field, even on passing downs. Carlos Hyde's the one out there getting the reps. So very confusing why the Texans would give up a third-round pick for a player that they don't even plan on using. You could probably get a third-round running back that's about as good as Duke Johnson if you're not going to use him. So that's very confusing, but they don't have a real general manager at this time, so maybe that is rearing its ugly head. So I'm going to put the Texans last in the running back category. Wide receivers and tight ends I kind of grouped together in the weapons category. I'm going to put the Texans number one, and it's just based on pure talent. DeAndre Hopkins is either the best receiver in the NFL or the second best receiver in the NFL to Julio Jones. So Kenny Stills, Will Fuller is such a speed demon. He's a dynamic player when he's healthy. I think Kenny Stills has filled in pretty nicely and been a pretty consistent player for them. Deshaun Watson's able to raise the level of the talent around him in terms of the offensive line, so he's able to get it to those dynamic threats. Second, I would have to put the Colts. Same thing with T.Y. Hilton. He's just such a dynamic player and such a superstar and changes the game and changes the field that he puts that group with great tight ends too, Jack Doyle, Eric Ebron. They really serve their purpose. I like Paris Campbell, who's a rookie, Deion Kane, young players. So I like what they're able to do, but having T.Y. Hilton in those tight ends is just a blessing for them. And that superstar talent in T.Y. Hilton just kind of puts them over the top. I'd have the Titans third. Corey Davis. A lot of people who like Corey Davis would say he's being held back by Marcus, but Corey makes enough mistakes of his own out there, running the wrong routes. Tajay had a nice catch on Thursday night, and Corey got bullied on his route, and he was almost next to Tajay during it. So he has some bad releases. Him and Marcus can't seem to get on the same page, and one of the ones was a short crossing route. Corey tried to settle down a little bit. Marcus thought he was going to keep going, and in my opinion, watching it, I think Marcus was correct on that one. So having him not really living up to expectations, Adam Humphries is only going to be as good as the offense that he's in. A.J. Brown, I do think, is a pretty dynamic player, so look forward to seeing him. And Delanie Walker and Jonnu Smith are a solid combo. Delanie Walker continues to get it done and be a viable threat when Marcus is able to get him the ball. He is open a lot during games. That's all I know for being that age and coming off that injury. Delanie Walker is still a stud tight end. And then last, I have the Jaguars. Shark has looked great. He really has. He may be a much better player than people expected, but I think D.D. Westbrook isn't anything special other than just having speed. The tight ends, O'Shaughnessy, seem to do damage against the Titans. I wouldn't say he's too much of a talent, just kind of a product of the scheme and the situation that he's put in. Chris Conley, Marquise Lee is injured quite a bit. Not really overwhelmed by that talent. I think it's definitely something that the Jaguars could look to upgrade if they plan on rolling with Minshew or Foles long term. That's definitely something they're going to need to look at. And the offensive lines, I think it's pretty simple. We know about the stud Quentin Nelson on the Colts offensive line. Anthony Costanzo is solid. Ryan Kelly is a solid center. I think the Colts have the best offensive line, and it's not really something that we can really debate. I think next you would have the Jaguars. Andrew Norwell is a stud guard. Really helps out. I don't think that the Jags offensive line has top-end talent, but the scheme that they're put in definitely helps them take advantage. Like, Gardner Minshew wasn't sacked at all, and it's because he was getting out the ball quick. The coaches are helping the offensive line there, but they're still getting the job done. I would have the Titans next at the current state. Once Taylor Lewan comes back, maybe if Nate Davis is able to make an impact, this offensive line can elevate itself closer to what we saw in 2016. Hopefully that's the case. I would take 2017 offensive line production at this point with the way things are going. So can't wait to see the Titans when they have improved talent in the lineup, but at this time I'd rank them third in the Texans, even though Laremy Tunsil is a solid player and a pretty solid offensive tackle, should be a good player going forward. Their offensive line is getting Deshaun Watson killed out there. He's still making plays and leading them to a 2-1 record, but it seems like he's been, and I think the numbers would support this, he's been one of the most pressured, hit, sacked quarterbacks since he came into the league. So the offensive line clearly has some issues in Houston. That's going to do it for the offensive side of the ball. We're going to talk about the defense next. We'll start with the defensive line, and I'm going to give that top spot to the Jaguars. They have high-end talent in Yannick Ngakoue and Calais Campbell. They have a stud rookie in Josh Allen coming off the other edge. We saw what that talented defensive line can do to an offensive line. They gave the Texans major issues in week two and limited their offense. So I have to give this top spot to the Jaguars. They have talent. They also have depth. They're a pretty dangerous defensive line. I would give the next spot to the Texans with J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus. Mercilus is playing like a stud again, and he's combined with J.J. Watt, who is starting to improve and finally getting into his typical form based on today's play. And I would give them the second spot. Next, I have to go with the Colts, Justin Houston, Danico Autry, Teray. They just have a nice combo. They rush four a lot. They play zones. So their front four is able to get a lot of pressure with those three. They have a lot of talent there and a lot of depth to rotate. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to put the Titans last in this category, and I definitely think it's a reason that Jeffrey Simmons was drafted. Landry is playing well, but still needs to produce a little more. Cameron Wake was barely used in the past few games after his big performance in Cleveland. He's not going to be out there and run defense. Sharif Finch is doing his best to hold up. Casey is the only interior defensive lineman consistently getting snaps. We want to see more from Austin Johnson, Brett Urban, Dickerson. Isaiah Mack's been a really, really good sign, but the Titans could really use an influx of talent at that position, and that's why Jeffrey Simmons was drafted. So hopefully he's able to provide that, but I can't include him because we don't know what he's going to be. So I'm going to put the Titans last there, and I think going into the draft this year in free agency, the Titans should look to upgrade talent there, even if Jeffrey Simmons lives up to his potential. The linebacker group, I'm giving the Titans the number one spot with Jayon Brown and Rashawn Evans. Young, talented, one run stopper, one pass coverage expert. I think that they are one of the tops in the NFL, not just the AFC South, but they're taking the number one spot. Next, I would go with the Texans. Bernardrick McKinney and Zach Cunningham are solid linebackers. I really like Cunningham's versatility. He's able to help in the run, can help you a little bit in pass coverage. McKinney is such an intelligent veteran linebacker that he can do a lot on the field and is just good at coaching the defense, making sure everybody's in position. Third, I'm going to go with the Colts. Darius Leonard, rookie, Okereke, we saw them have an impact on the game in week two against the Titans. So I think that Darius Leonard's one of the best linebackers in the NFL. He proved that last year. That kind of talent and moving all the pieces around and them following his example, I think that gives them the third spot. And last, I have the Jaguars. If Telvin Smith was still playing football, this would be a different story. But I think that Miles Jack is one of the more overrated players. He has a good name. He's athletic. He makes some plays here and there. But overall in his career, I think Jayon Brown has been a better player, and the stats do bear that out as well. There are different reasons that people want to say, but I think Jayon Brown is what people think Miles Jack is. That's what Jayon Brown is, actually. So call that a hot take if you want. I don't think it's a very biased take at all. I think it's just the facts. Quincy Wilson is nothing to write home about. I think losing Telvin Smith there definitely hurts that unit. Lastly, the secondaries. I think the best secondary in the AFC South is the Tennessee Titans. I know that Malcolm Butler struggles a little bit in one-on-one situations, and Adoree Jackson has a propensity to give up some boneheaded mistakes, more like penalties and things like that, than he has to give up huge plays so far this year. But with Logan Ryan being one of the best corners, Malcolm Butler being a pretty streaky corner that can get pretty hot and play pretty well, Kenny Vaccaro is a physical, versatile safety that's able to play all the complex coverages that he's asked and also come down and play man on tight ends. And then Kevin Byard is one of the best safeties, if not the best safety in the league, which in my opinion, of course, he is. Combine that with a young rookie like Amani Hooker, who's able to come in the diamond packages and help out and actually get reps this early on. I think it's the best safety in the AFC South. The next best has to be the Jaguars. Two lockdown corners like Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye. You have a pretty solid safety in Ronnie Harrison. Anytime you have corners of that caliber on both sides of the defense, it's a pretty packed secondary. Now, they used to have more talented safeties. Ronnie Harrison is a young guy. He's looking pretty solid, but at this time, he's not to the level of like a Barry Church. And they had Tashawn Gibson, who's been replaced with Jared Wilson, and I think that's a downgrade at this time. When their secondary was at its height, the safety play was a little bit better than it is right now, but still a very, very solid secondary. DJ Hayden in the slot as a corner is a nice addition, not as great as Aaron Colvin was playing for the Jaguars, but obviously his play started to slip. They replaced him, and I think Hayden's done a pretty decent job after flaming out after his rookie contract. So I would have the Colts next. I was pretty impressed by their secondary. They try to get pressure with four people. They will drop back into coverage, and sometimes you can put your secondary on an island doing that. They play a lot of cover two as well, which means you're going to need to have rangy safeties that are able to, you know, play from the boundary into their hash, and that middle of the field is always going to be a little bit exposed, so you got to have versatile, rangy safeties that can do that. The Titans have that as well. They're able to play a bunch of different coverages, but the Colts safeties really have to play in a lot of cover two, so really hard to get over into the middle of the field when they're attacked in cover two. We saw Malik Hooker almost intercept Marcus on that exact situation. They were playing cover two. Marcus tried to hit Delaney up the seam, down the middle to break the cover two, and Malik Hooker was about one step away from coming over and get that interception. We saw his one-handed interception against San Diego. He was a very talented player at Ohio State, and he's showing that if he stays healthy, he's a very talented player in the NFL as well. I like their corners, very physical. They like to tackle. Pierre Desir is dealing with some injuries, but their rookie, Rock Ya-Sin, former rookie from Florida, Quincy Wilson, and Kenny Moore, just a really solid secondary. Clayton Gaithers probably could see an upgrade there, but for what they're asked to do, they seem to get the job done. And Kari Willis is showing signs that he could be a really solid safety coming up. So the Colts are drafting well. They're building a good roster. We see that. I've talked about that in our first segment. The secondary is just really solid. That is somewhere they could probably add some more high-end talent, but for right now, they're just doing exactly what their coaches are asking. The last secondary that I'm going to hit on is going to be the Texans. I definitely think they're the least talented secondary in the AFC South. DeShaun Gibson is not a bad free safety. Bradley Roby did not live up to his potential as a corner, and Jonathan Joseph is a solid cornerback and has been for his whole career, but the reason we know that is because he's so old. So the Texans will definitely need to upgrade the talent in their secondary. I like the young safety, Justin Reed, but Lonnie Johnson was being targeted today by Phillip Rivers quite a bit. I don't think that he's going to be an answer for them at this moment in time. I know that some people will not agree with my ranking, so let me know on Twitter at Tic Tac Titans what you feel about the rankings, how you would rank things, if you agree with me or not. Perfectly open to any suggestions that you might have, so feel free to let me know. I'm going to go ahead and go into the schedule portion of our show, talk about what games come next for our division rivals and how I think things will shake out. All right, so let's look at the next 2 weeks worth of games for all the AFC South Division rivals of the Titans. First, I'll do the Texans. They play the Panthers next week at home in Houston. With the Panthers putting in Kyle Allen, he looked pretty good against the Cardinals defense. But Houston being at home, I have to expect they'll be able to win that game against a backup quarterback. Even if Cam Newton plays, he's going to be so limited. I would imagine that Kyle Allen will just play, but either way, I don't think that the Panthers will be able to beat the Texans at home. Their next game after that is going to be the Falcons. It's also a home game for the Texans. The Falcons right now could go either way. I've seen enough to say that maybe they aren't such a great team, and then they've had a few flashes of really good drives, and they have Super Bowl talent still on the team. They have Super Bowl experience with a lot of their players, so can never count them out, but right now it looks like the Texans may actually be a better team than the Falcons. We'll find out soon enough, but it looks like the Texans have a really good chance with two home games in the next 2 weeks to go 2-0 in those. Indianapolis has the Raiders at home in Indy. I'm going to go ahead and say the Colts are going to win that game. But after that, they do have a primetime game in Kansas City against the Chiefs, and you got to think that the Chiefs will be able to win that game. So pretty high likelihood that the Colts will go 1-1 in their next two games. Maybe the Raiders are able to do something and help us out. You never know. The Jaguars are away both of their next games. In Denver against the Broncos next week. Playing in that altitude can be difficult. The Broncos are going to be a physical team. That is a coin flip to me. I could see that game going either way. Let's hope the Broncos are able to help us. And then the Panthers. The Jaguars are playing in Carolina against the Panthers, where I think the Texans are going to be able to win that game. I don't see why the Panthers wouldn't be able to win that game at home, even if they have Kyle Allen at quarterback. I think that the Panthers generally are a better team than the Jaguars. Finally, I guess we'll finish out with the Titans. As you guys know, we have the Falcons this week. Tomorrow and Tic Tac Tuesday, I'm going to try to cover something from the game. I try to stay positive, guys. The negative breakdowns are everywhere if you want to find them. I see it when I'm watching film too, but it's hard to come on here every week and just tell you how bad the guys played when you already know a lot of it you don't need a breakdown to see. But there is one positive that I want to show you guys in Tic Tac Tuesday tomorrow, so we'll go ahead and cover that. The Bills game will be after. We struggled with Jacoby Brissett and his physicality and mobility, but Josh Allen is prone to give you turnovers, which is something that the Titans have been able to capitalize on so far this year. Hopefully that'll work out. I think that the Titans have a pretty good chance to beat the Falcons. They're going to be pretty upset coming off that loss against the Colts, but they might not be a good team. If the Titans are able to limit Julio Jones and stop the run, they should have a pretty decent chance at winning that ballgame if the offense can get going at all. Same thing with the Bills. They have a great defense. I think the Titans can limit their offense. The Titans really need to go at least 1-1. Out of these games to keep pace. If they were to drop both, it would be a pretty bad sign, and I think they have a pretty good chance of being able to get one of those, possibility even to get two if the offense can get rolling at all. So that's the division schedule going forward. The Titans have put themselves in a little bit of a hole, but it's nothing that they can't dig themselves out of. We're going to start covering that throughout the week, move forward. It was a Thursday game. We've already talked as much about the Jaguars game as we need to, so we're going to start moving forward starting tomorrow. I'm going to cover something from the Jags game, but it's going to be about how the Titans can use it going forward into the season against Atlanta. Hopefully, they're able to string together a few victories and get this season turned around. Excited to cover it with you guys tomorrow. Remember, I am your host, Tyler Rowland, and this was Locked On Titans.